The will to move forward, the need to move forward. Perhaps nowhere is this need more significant than in medicine. I'm Elizabeth Tracy, and this is Forward Conversations, a Johns Hopkins Medicine podcast that shines a light on those taking healthcare forward for all of us. In our first 7 episodes, we'll feature the stories of individuals who have answered the call with extraordinary innovation and leadership to help find ways forward through the COVID-19 pandemic, like Ben Bigelow.
I came to Hopkins as a medical student, but during the pandemic, I took a step back from medical school to become a senior project administrator for Johns Hopkins Health System, and I've been leading an effort currently to provide vaccines in the community.
In March of 2020, you were just finishing up your 3rd year as a Johns Hopkins medical student when your role changed. What happened?
I was just finishing up my 3rd year. I was on rotations, was actually on my pediatric rotation. And previously, before I came to medical school, I was actually a paramedic for close to 10 years. I was part of a national response team. And my team was actually asked to go to help repatriate some people coming back from China that had been infected with the coronavirus. After returning from that, I started to pay a little bit more attention to what was going on locally. And I noticed that Hopkins was starting to prepare for the coronavirus to hit Maryland and the Baltimore area. And so when I heard that they had started a command center, just having a previous background in these kind of roles and functions, I'd actually reached out to them and said, hey, I'd love to help and be a part of this if I can be of assistance.
At the time, you were also working in nursing homes, and that's kind of relevant to this story too, isn't it?
Nursing homes were having a large number of infections. And part of that was that if those patients became infected and symptomatic, they were going to local hospitals and there's a potential that they could overwhelm them. They asked myself, Dr. Morgan Katz, and some others to help with going to these nursing homes and providing support. Nobody had access to tests and who was infected, who wasn't infected. So with the help of the ambulatory team, from some folks from JHCP, we started to go into these places and actually perform coronavirus testing. And it was really shocking to see because we saw a lot of asymptomatic cases when we weren't sure if that was even a thing. We were able to add to just a fund of knowledge out there through research that we did on that, just that you did have to worry about these asymptomatic cases and how to isolate and quarantine groups of people in these locations. And then we expanded that. We not only started doing these long-term care facilities like assisted living and nursing homes, we actually started going out to some of the homeless shelters for those that were experiencing homelessness and offering testing there to further, again, help them create isolation groups and just protect against this. First thing was just how do we bring this out in the community? How do we organize it? How do we keep it streamlined? How do we make it effective? When you're going into these locations, then we'd be testing up to 200 people in about a 3 or 4 hour span of time with like 4 people. How do we do this? How do we scale this appropriately? And so a lot of my background is just like logistics and how do we work through that? And then just constant improvement to that system. So I think that's really what I was able to bring to the team.
And then you moved from long-term care facilities into the community.
So a group of individuals, Dr. Kathleen Page, Dr. Sharita Golden, Nikki McCann, had started to plan, how do we offer testing in this community? How do we get them access to testing? And not just testing, but if they test positive, how can we offer them other resources? How do they isolate them? Letting them know about the isolation hotel and how to get food at home and what to do and the proper procedures and how to protect family members. Our first site was Sacred Heart of Jesus Church in North Highland Town. And the need is just overwhelming. And so we were there about twice a week, July of 2020 through almost January of 21. And during this time, one of the most amazing things is that we just saw, one, just a huge need. The percent positive rate in the Latino population compared to other groups was extremely high. And there was also just a need for that. We wanted to really make sure that we offered testing that was easy. We knew that we wanted to offer a walk-up service for anybody. So we made it so that it was walk-up testing. No insurance needed. We made sure that it was bilingual capability, that's that people were receiving care in the language that they spoke primarily. And so we really just focused on making this as easy as possible for these folks to access. And then again, when they were positive or even negative, we always handed out information about it, but we'd follow up with them. There's this is an amazing team of community health workers led by Alejandra Flores Miller, who made sure to reach out to these patients when they were positive and give them that help and information and what to watch out for and how to protect the rest of their family.
One of the major things that happened to you in your first efforts here was, gosh, AT&T actually went down. How did you handle that one?
In January 21, the vaccine was coming out. And one of the things that we saw is that we knew that all these inequities we've seen with testing and other things were going to happen with vaccines. We really wanted to pivot and make sure we offered vaccines out into the community. behind the scenes, there's a lot of just like IT infrastructure that we had to figure out during this whole process. One of the things in DC is most of the time in these Bearden's is that the community room's in the basement. So it's like the worst location ever to get a cell signal. There are these super thick cement walls. And so the first day we go out there, we're set up, we're ready to go. We have 100 plus people ready to get vaccinated, all excited. And not only is it hard to get a signal, but AT&T lost coverage on a number of their cell towers that day. And there's a big outage along the East Coast. So we ended up having to go to a backup system, do everything on paper. At the end of the night, we went back and had to retroactively put it all in the computer. But, you know, overall, it was a success. We vaccinated close to 100 people. It was a good day. And we learned a lot. From there, one of the biggest things we learned is multiple backups. And so now when we go out and do these events in the community, we usually have anywhere from 3 to 4 different ways to connect to the internet, different devices, different things to make sure that that never has to happen to us again.
These must have been some incredibly long days, nights, weekends. There must have been a time when you just said, all right, that's enough of that. What helped you?
There's definitely some long nights and weekends. Actually, with this internet, one of the funniest things that happened is that we got a new device to help us connect. And I remember we got it in. We're trying to play with it. And I was messaging one of the IT guys. And I had woke up early, worried about it. It was like 5 a.m. And I'm like, oh, they're not going to respond. And for some reason, they responded. And they helped us set it up. And I was just amazed at just that type of teamwork. And I say that because I think teamwork is honestly what one of the biggest things that kept it going is that you knew you weren't alone. From the Epic team to our IT networking team to the IT hardware team to different clinical teams to the pharmacy team. I mean, everybody was working together. Everybody was exhausted, but they were working together and they, you know, were keeping the patients and the community at the heart of it. And I think that's where I really got most of my encouragement.
What do you think is going to be the upside or the future for all these mobile capabilities?
I think it's exciting. One of the things is, for instance, Sacred Heart, we're staying there every week. We're there at least twice a week. We've seen over, I think at this time, almost 19,000 unique individuals come through that site. Over 90% of them identify as Latino and are primarily Spanish speaking, and given out close to 20,000 vaccines at that site now. We've built up that trust, we're present in the community, and that's just one site. We're continuing to break down walls. And as we've done this, we've heard from the community, you know, this is great. We want this and we appreciate it. But there's other diseases out there. There's other things that afflict our community that we want help with. And so I think moving forward, utilizing the relationships that have been built, building on the trust that is there now to target other diseases in the community, to target other things that we can help with, I think is really going to be key. But there's also been a lot of, obviously, grief, pain through all of it, just knowing that we've been out there and hopefully had a role in lessening some of that and bringing some hope through the vaccine. I think that's definitely one of the biggest highlights of the vaccine and seeing the joy that people had when it came out, seeing the thankfulness, and really engaging with the community and seeing the smiles on people's faces. I mean, that is definitely one of the biggest joys that's come out of it. And that's a little cliche, but I think you just have to keep pushing forward and remembering why you're out there and in the community you're serving.
Thank you all for listening. For more information about how we're moving medicine forward, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit Hopkins/ForwardFigures. Johns Hopkins Medicine. Forward for all of us.